how individuals, at some point in their life, I believe that when you write a song like that, that God speaks to you. Because I know that I know that I know. And it doesn't matter how you sing it. You can sing it fast. You can sing it slow. You can do all the high notes. You can just keep. Doesn't really matter. Because I feel the message in the song. Because the message in the song touches me. Stuff for Jill this morning. She walked in and we gave her a little 30-second practice over here. And I love the beautiful voices we have at Mount Calvary. I love the wonderful talent that we have at Mount Calvary. But most of all, I love the message in the songs that we sing at Mount Calvary. I love to go visiting and I love to see the screens up on the wall because I don't have to get my glasses out finally. Everybody says, well, it doesn't matter. As long as the message is in the song and you go to a church that has contemporary music and and those words are up on the screen and the message is coming forth, praise be God. But here at Mount Calvary, I still like to open up MO hymn books. Because I can't see the words as Kevin knew this morning. He was standing next to me, so I was kind of winging it, messing him up a little bit. But I know that the message is in the song. When you have an opportunity to share with people on a Sunday morning during sermon time, the key is the message. I heard a great evangelist many years ago. And he was talking to Bible college students. And he said a phrase I will always, always remember, and I think it's very key. He said, you young men and you young women, you will have great opportunities. You have an opportunity many times on a Sunday morning to have the undivided attention of the people that God allows to be in hearing range. He says, you will be pressured. You'll be sweating. You'll be thinking, boy, I've got to get just the right thing to say. You'll try to find the greatest illustration you can. You'll time your sermon. You will do everything you can to try to make it as presentable as it can be because you are concerned about the message and how it's received. And he says, I'm going to tell you the most important thing about that message. You pray for the messenger. You work on the messenger. You allow God and the things, the people that he brings in your life to affect you. He says you be the best messenger you can be. And God will take care of the message. I believe that. Let me tell you, folks, and I'm going to get an amen from this, and it's going to be, and I am still a work in progress. Amen. Amen. But I think each one of us, when we come into God's house, we come expecting something from Him. I'm excited. This may be the last sermon you hear before the big snow. I don't believe it. What's the latest? 3 to 6? I don't believe it. We could be shoveling out around the windows to let sunlight in the way this winter's gone. I have no faith in the weather people anymore. Yesterday it was 72 degrees. Fredericksburg. It's not many times. Shorts, sunglasses, and a snow shovel. That's what I had on my deck, getting ready. Focus. The message. And I love this morning that we're going to speak just for a moment out of the book of James. Love the book of James. And the first chapter is Barbara O'Kane will let you and I both know, as she so lovingly corrected me, that book of James, pure religion and undefiled. To visit whom, Barbara? Yes, amen. And those afflicted. All right. She's trying to cover for me over there. And then in the second chapter, there are wonderful illustrations about an individual coming into your church. How we treat individuals as we look simply on the outside, but how God looks so revealingly upon the inside. It talks about legalism. And thanks be to God, I must say that over the last 35 years that I've been involved with churches, I have seen people who finally overcome this great barrier of legalism. Understanding that I am simply a sinner saved by grace. And the part this morning I want to share with you, it begins down in the 14th verse of the second chapter. It's a verse that you've heard read many times. It's one that sometimes will make you scratch your head to try to fully understand what the writer here is trying to share with us. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. The 18th verse reads, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God. You do well. But there's a caution at the end of the scripture. Even the demons believe and tremble. Heavenly Father, add a special blessing unto the reading of your word today. Open our hearts and minds, and let us receive that special truth that you have for each and every one of us in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Faith versus works. What I want to entitle, real faith. Real faith. The real thing. So many times we hear something. So many times we've learned to just recycle that which we have heard before. But I'm here to tell you this morning that everything in this book that is said about a believer in their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is put there to change you and me. This is a book all about change. It's a book that is the most amazing thing that I've ever opened in my life. I told him on Wednesday night that, and I still love it, and I've used the illustration so many times. The man walks in the library and, asks the librarian for where are the self-help books, and the librarian says, well, if I told you, that would kind of defeat the purpose, wouldn't it? This is the greatest self-help book that's ever been written. Because this is a book that evokes change in your life and in mine. It is a book which challenges you to take what you have heard and what you have learned and put it into practice in your life. That's the tough part. It's easy this morning, each one of you is... The musicians were playing just before we prayed the Lord's Prayer. Each one of you could have easily recited the Lord's Prayer. But when you're able to take what is found in that prayer and put it into your everyday life, that is true faith. It's one thing in what you believe, one thing in what you say, but it's oh so important in what you do. What you do. The writer here in James, he said, first of all, that real faith, it is profitable. What do I mean by profitable? If the faith that you have does not reflect itself in the things that you do that are helpful to others, it is not real faith. The guys are trying to learn a song, and the chorus in that song says, he made a change. I would try to have them sing it for you, but that would be a little too much faith for me today. But trust me, the message is going to be there because this song says he made a change. He made a change in the way that I live. And I love the end of this little chorus because it says, he made a change in me and he can make a change in you. Some people don't like change. I'm one of those people. I like done a certain way. I am very much a habit person. If I go to the mall, I go and park in a place where I normally park at because I do not have to go in there at the end of my shopping, walk out and, where's my car? I see you smiling at me. A little bit of compassion out there. It's good. I have certain things and habits that I have tried to develop that help me in my life. And I'm one of those individuals sometimes a little hard to change. But then, for you guests here today, there are a lot of people that attend this church on a regular basis that this applies to them more than you. So you'll hear some comments and all like that. Best thing to do is pray for those individuals when you hear those comments. I have a hard time sometimes with change. Well, it's worked in the past. And then God, through his wisdom, he allows something to happen. He allows something that happens in your life that simply makes you realize, oh, there's a better way of doing it. There's a better way of getting it done. There's a better way for you to share things. It's time for you to make a change. And I believe that the changes that we have in our life, they have to stand the test of one question. If it brings glory unto God, you will know because it will bring glory and peace to others. Because my word, when I read it, it tells me that it's if his name is lifted up, if his name is lifted up, that people will be drawn under that name of Jesus. Secondly, the writer here in James says that real faith, it is provable. It is provable. There has to be fruit. There has to be things in your life that are changing. There has to be relationships that, oh, I tell you, I don't think there's any hope. I don't think. I tell you what, God does think. And he does care. And he does look forward to a relationship that you have with others that brings glory unto him. I heard this week about people love to come tell me stuff. And it's sort of like I'm going to give some bit of wisdom. And for those of you who know me well, you know, that's a very low likelihood that that's going to happen. What I'm going to do is I'm going to listen. And I'm going to say, well, what really in your heart of your hearts, how do you feel about that? Well, I hope it'll get better. I really kind of wish it would get better, but you know, that thing they did, it's going to be hard for me to forgive. Well, you can. With God's help, you can. Family members. So sad. Not sharing, not speaking. Concern. Oh. If there is anything that we should learn about the events that we have heard take place in the last 8 days, and you know the flight that I am talking about, if there's anything that we should learn from that, that everything that you think that you're going to get done in your life just may not happen. How many families, when they sent those individuals off on that flight, thought that there is a very great possibility that they would never see them again? And we don't know the answers. We don't know all the particulars. We don't know that. But my goodness, I want to have a clean slate in my life. I don't want to be burdened down with the things that just simply don't matter. I want to put the faith that I have in what God's Word says about me, and I want to put it to work. I met a fellow last night, very interesting. He's 93 years old. I believe that was the age, Terry, wasn't it? He had served in World War II. He'd served in the Korean War. He spoke for, 10 minutes or so at a function. And I was intrigued. So when nobody else got to see, I just went over and I wanted to shake his hand. And with the time of age, he's not a real tall fellow. And he looked up and I just want to say, I said, sir, I want to tell you how much you impressed me. And he told and the work that he'd done with the USO and different little events in his life. And he made a response that I never expected. I said, sir, I appreciate you sharing your little life experiences with the folks here and with me. He said, well, I'm sorry my parents couldn't be here tonight to hear it. And he looked at me and laughed and he smiled. I didn't expect a 93-year-old jester here give me a hard time when I'm trying to compliment him. And he said, sir, it is a joy to bring joy into the life of others. If you want to hear what faith is, you can read in this book. But if you want to feel what real faith is, you got to get to work. You got to be concerned about those around you. You're not going to get it right. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to sometimes, with the best intentions, go over and say something, and it's just going to backfire. And you just say, God, I tried. But you're going to be amazed how God is going to allow even the simple seeds that you place, how God is going to water, how God is going to bring the increase. You have to be willing to change, to try, to take your faith and put it into action. I don't understand the things that go on in this world. I hate to tell you, but the more I watch television, the more depressed I get if I watch too much of it. So I don't. The stories I hear, how individuals can be so unkind and so unfair to one another. I find myself just simply wanting to go back to something that I can absolutely believe in. I want to go back to something that doesn't change. The reason that this doesn't change, because it has one purpose, and that's to change me. I'm the one that needs to change. Thanks be unto God that I have the blueprint. We come and we sing. We share in prayer requests. God allows us to hopefully be a part in helping bear one another's burdens. I would never orchestrate it this way, but I'm so glad that He does. So I encourage you, when you're done shoveling out a week from now and it's time to come back to church, when you are looking into just the simple things that you do in your life, be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit so that you can be used by Him. Heavenly Father, we have come to Your house. We have opened Your Word. We have been challenged by what we read about how we are able to take our faith, and hopefully it changes our lives and changes our way of doing things so that we can bring glory unto Your name by being helpful to those. Heavenly Father, it can't even begin unless we know within our heart of hearts that we believe in You. So challenge us, Heavenly Father. Allow us in our own hearts to know that we have Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. That's where it begins. And Heavenly Father, as the singer sang the song, "How Great Thou Art Today," as her voice was beautiful, let the message that we find within that song and the message in the Scripture, let it just settle within our hearts and make a change in our lives for You. Now give us safe traveling mercies as we leave this building. Prepare us for the challenges of the week ahead. And encourage us to serve You more and more. We ask this in Jesus' precious name, all God's people.